Well, God bless you, church family, and thank you, choir. We are indeed the body of Christ. And the message of that song goes well with our study out of the book of Philippians chapter 2. Would you turn there? Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 17 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 30. And I'm going to make three divisions in those verses. And I want to speak to you on a sacrificial life. If I wanted to give that a subtitle, I'd probably call that a godly example because, you know, we really are the body of Christ. And if a member of the physical body becomes diseased, it affects the whole body. And so as we think about being a godly example, this will strengthen the body of Christ if God the Holy Spirit will speak to my heart regarding this and speak to yours. And I pray that he does indeed. I really do. So tonight I'm just going to take the sections as I deal with them. I'll not read all the scripture to start, but I will walk through the verses as I have divided them. And my first division has to do with verse 17 through 24. So let me read those verses as we think about a sacrificial life, or if you prefer, a godly example. Remember, when we come to this point in the chapter, we have looked at who this person of Christ is. Who is this Jesus that saves? Then we've looked at what are the evidences of salvation. And so having looked at the evidences of salvation, he's now going to give us an illustration in these verses of two people that he points to and say, here's what those evidences look like in their lives. And maybe by God's grace, you and I will think about the evidence that's in our lives about being a godly example. Beginning in verse 17, I read down through verse 24. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. In these verses contain what I call an example of a Christian. He gives us here Timothy as an example. And he mentions here several things about him. And as I look at these verses, here's what he talks about. He talks about his commitment, his concern, his character, and his cause. Talking about Timothy now. Timothy's commitment, his concern, his character, and his cause. Let's see now, how was Timothy an example as you pick up with me down around verse 20. First thing he said was regarding his commitment, he said, I have no man like-minded. So he says, first of all, he's like-minded. The word like-minded is made up of two New Testament words. It means equal in soul. And what he's really saying is there's no one with a soul equal to Timothy. Man, he can be depended on. Under God, wouldn't you and I want that said about us regarding our commitment, that we are like-minded, we can be depended on? He talked about his concern because he made the statement there, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Care for your state means he'll look out for you. He is interested in protecting. He's interested in promoting the overall interest. Your state means everything about you. So he has a concern for others. And that's why he's a great example of a Christian. Then in verse 22, he talks about his character. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, what he says here, you know how he's been proven. He's been tried and put to the test. We know what he's made of. and he's been approved. You know, trials will really test you and tell you and everyone else what you're made of. Trials prove the real you. You are under pressure what you really are, and Timothy had been put to the test, and he had found to be the real McCoy, and that's a wonderful thing. That was his character. Then in verse 22, he said, also, but you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, here's the special phrase, he hath served with me in the gospel. The cause is that one of service. He served. He was one who zealously sought to advance the cause and interest of that which was pertinent and important to the life of the apostle. Timothy served the gospel. It would bear me asking my heart the question, you asking your heart the question, who do you serve? It was obvious that there was a preeminent interest in Timothy serving as a protege to his father in ministry, the Apostle Paul. He was God's instrument in Timothy's life. He taught him much. He taught him to love Jesus. He taught him to serve Jesus. He taught him to have an interest in others. It behooves me to ask myself, am I looking for a moment of convenience? And let me say something to we older ones, and I are one, so listen to me carefully. I'm not criticizing any older than me. I'm just talking about as we age. Greatest temptation I know as you age is that it takes more effort to do anything and everything. I mean anything and everything, it takes more effort. And your greatest temptation is to say, well, you know, I'm done 60 years old now. I'm done 65 years old now. I'm done, you fill in the blank. I'm done past 50 now. And I'm telling you, I'm been wanting to ease up just a little bit. I'm wanting to take it easy. Folks, comfort, convenience, and ease can be the demon spirit that destroys your witness and your life toward the end of your days. And unto God, I would hope that as long as God gives any of us health, now listen carefully, don't get upset at what I said earlier, listen to this. You have to serve God in the one body He gave you. And there's some things in your body you can't do like you used to do and may not be able to do at all. But for whatever of measure of health God gives you, go out of this place when Jesus calls you home, serving in a blaze of glory and giving God all you have and be able to say, as the apostle said before he died, you know, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. So let that be said of us as we think about being a godly example, living a sacrificial life. He actually is leaving the impression, and as he starts out verse 17 about being offered, that verse has to do with being poured out like a drink offering, being absolutely wasted, if you will, please, and I don't mean waste, misused, being absolutely used up for the glory of God, and I can't think of anything more glorious than coming to the end of your days saying, I have used the greater part of my life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That beats a ball game, that beats a golf game, that beats a hobby. That beats traveling. That beats anything I know of. Because folks, when we have lived this life so soon it's past, it's only what's done for Christ that's going to last. Now, I don't have an axe to grind, but it won't be about going to look at leaves in the fall. It won't be about how much time you've spent with others or how many states you've seen or what all you've done. What did you do for Jesus? That's the main thing. And he is saying to us that Timothy is truly the example of a Christian, and he's a godly example. Now, let's pick up in the second division of our text tonight, and that'll just be verse 25. That's one verse for the second division of our message. Look at verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Now, as we looked at Timothy being an example of a Christian, I want you to notice the testimony of a Christian. And he uses the testimony of Epaphroditus and how he served. Here's what he said about him, then we'll talk about it. Said, he's a brother, he's a companion in labor, he's a fellow soldier, he's a messenger, and he was a minister. Now let's talk about those. As a brother, notice how he said that in verse 25, I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, there it is, my brother. My brother means he was on a common level. There wasn't any great earthly distinction about him. It was not like he's a big shot. There are no big shots or little shots in God's family. They're just sinners saved by grace and some willing to work and some not willing to work. And he said, when it comes to Epaphroditus, he is a real brother. Said he's a companion in labor. That means he's a fellow worker. He's a joint promoter. He is interested in furthering the cause of Christ, and that's why he calls him a companion in labor. He is putting his shoulder to the wheel, helping in the cause of Christ. You know, if we love the local church, if we like the ministries of the church, if we think the local church ought to invest in children and be a major agent to transform children, if we want the church locally to have an impact on youth, if we want that church to have an impact with young couples, under God, it can't take place with a pastor and a few staff people and a handful of elders. It requires the body of Christ, as the choir was singing, the body of Christ. We each are gifted when we are saved with at least one predominant spiritual gift, and we have that gift according to the New Testament teaching, in order to build up and to edify the body. And we want to be sure that each of us are using our gifts to promote as a godly example what the testimony of a Christian really is. A Christian is supposed to be someone who is following Christ, someone who is promoting Christ, someone who's in love with Christ. And I'll just tell you, the words lazy and Christian ought never be found in the same sentence together. And he says he's a fellow soldier. Do you see that in verse 25? Now, soldiers face a common danger. Soldiers face the danger of Satan and sin. The demons of hell are always at work in the kingdom of God's work. And a soldier is active. A soldier's been given equipment. A soldier is never trained on how to be idle. Never. Get that in your head. Never is a soldier trained for idleness. He is equipped to do a work. He's never equipped to be idle. So he is a fellow soldier. And I can't help but remember when I read this that Paul said to Timothy in writing the letter to him, he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier does not need to get distracted, but to stay by his post and be mindful and alert as to what his job really is. He's a fellow soldier, Epaphroditus is. Then he called him a messenger. Do you see that in verse 25? But your messenger. He has an assignment. He knows where he's headed. He's got a goal in view. He's carrying out the master's orders, and nothing is to divert him from his mission. And Paul says here in this 25th verse, he is your messenger. He is the one. Remember, a messenger is sent. He's the one that God has sent. He's the one I feel that needs to be sent. And I'm sending him there to help you. He is a messenger. Question for all of us, starting with me. Are we at our post? Are we fulfilling our assignment? Are we doing what is our glorious privilege to do? I sometimes use the word it's our duty, but more than our duty to do it, are we doing it because it is a glorious privilege to be doing anything in the cause of Christ? And then the last thing he said in that 25th verse about Epaphroditus, he said, and he that ministered to my wants, he was a servant to me. Now, he was a benefactor to Paul. Do you understand what it means to be a benefactor? We normally use that word when somebody has given a generous gift to the church. He's been a wonderful benefactor, or to something else. It was said of Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A, that he was a wonderful benefactor. He was. He gave to so very many things. But let me tell you something. Benefactors give more than money. They start by giving themselves. And it ought to be said of you and me that we are benefactors in that we give the very best of what God has entrusted to us to the cause of Christ. If that major talent and investment and source that He has placed inside of you has to do with music, give the best you have. If it has to do with teaching, teach the best you know how. If it has to do with serving children, serve the best you know how. You want to be a grand benefactor to the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes folks, people in their personal lives, businesses and others, they get their books messed up. And sometimes people have told me that they had to refile their income tax because they left something out. Sometimes that was favorable to them. Sometimes it was favorable to the government, but they got that straightened out. I got good news for you. God's keeping books and they never have to be filed again. And one day standing at the judgment seat, the books will be open and every man will be rewarded according to his works. We will find out on that day, is it wood, hay, and stubble, or is it gold, silver, and precious stones unto God. Let us be like Epaphroditus and let our testimony be that we are a servant minister. We are a benefactor. We're giving the best we have right off the top to Jesus of time, talent, treasure, and the whole nine yards because He went all the way to the cross and gave His best for us. And aren't we grateful? Now, the last part and division of this message is encompassing verses 26 through 30. We have looked at Timothy's life as an example of a Christian. We've looked at Epaphroditus with the testimony of a Christian. Now, I want us to see what the Holy Spirit saw fitting to place in these latter verses still regarding the life of Epaphroditus concerning his devotion. Now, how devoted? Let me ask the question up front. How devoted am I to what God wants me to do? How devoted are you to what God wants you to do? Now, I've known some men and women and young people really devoted to God. But I've also met a lot of people along my journey that were devoted to God as long as the going just didn't get tough. And when the tough got going, they left with it. And folks, I want to tell you something. To quote a motivational speaker who's now in heaven named Zig Ziglar, quitters never win and winners never quit. And there is no place for quitting in the life of the child of God if we are going to be devoted to Jesus. There may be a time when we have to step aside because we're not able to serve, but it ought not be that if we have the ability that we're just not devoted to the task. Now let's read these verses and see what he said about Epaphroditus' devotion as a Christian. Verse 26. For he, Epaphroditus, longed after you all, and he was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Well, when Epaphroditus found out that they found out that he was sick, it bothered him. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now, what Paul mean that he might have sorrow? Let's keep reading. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, you may rejoice that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. And hold such, talking about Epaphroditus, you hold him in reputation. You treat him like you ought to. Because for the work of Christ, here's why. He was nigh to death. Now, that's why Paul said he's grateful God had mercy on him or else he had been sorrowful. Because for the work of Christ, he, Epaphroditus, was nigh to death. Not regarding his own life. He didn't even think about his own self there. To supply your lack of service toward me. Now, two basic things he says about Epaphroditus and his devotion. First of all, you see in verse 26 that he was full of heaviness. That means that he was distressed, that he felt heartsick. Now, folks, if you get involved with the work of God, there are going to be some days you have to carry a sense of distress in your soul. People don't always do right. People don't always respond well. You feel like the guy when I was a kid, there was a show on television called Ed Sullivan. He had a man on his program who would put up a bunch of broomsticks and he would spin a plate on them and he'd get 7, 8, or 10 of those spinning and he could get them spinning, but he had to run back over here and get these spinning. And sometimes as a pastor, you're trying to keep the plate spinning because about the time you get these people spinning like they ought to, these over here want to kick a shoe and do something they should not do. And your heart can be filled with heaviness. And if you didn't love people, you wouldn't give a rip. Epaphroditus cared about the people. And his heart, he says in verse 26, he longed after you. He was full of heaviness. But then in verse 30, there's another cause here. For the work of Christ, he was nigh to death. For the work of Christ, he was sick. He had worked the work of Christ till he had made himself sick. Not regarding his own life. He had a willingness to hazard his own well-being, his very life, for the sake of doing the work of the ministry. Now, I want to make a very kind statement here, and I don't know that anybody but the Lord can control this, so it's not for you or against you, it's not for me or against me, it's just a statement. When you know your body needs rest, there's a stewardship there. You need to rest. When you know it needs sleep, you need sleep. When you know it needs exercise, you need exercise. It does not sound good that a person deliberately killed themselves because they thought they had it all to do, so they drove themselves into the ground physically and cut short what God might have used them a longer period of time doing. So be mindful of that. He was willing to hazard his life for ministry. Notice in that 30th verse, he made this statement, not regarding his life. He was willing to risk his life to supply your lack of service for me. The not regarding means he was gambling, means that he was willing to gamble his life. He did not count his life dear to himself. He felt like he was here to do the work of God. And he was at his best doing God's work. And when he was taken out of the saddle, even for health reasons, it distressed him. To quote Brother Bill Sturm, he felt like he was born for this. Or as we would say, he was born for that. And he felt like that was God's purpose. There was a drive within him. Folks, let me tell you something. Eternity's a long time. Life, relatively speaking, if you live 100 years, is short. It's just one life. Boy, it is soon past. And you can't wait till you retire to do what you're going to do for God. You have to make time for God right now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Whatever we're going to do for God, we need to get to doing for God right now and not be presumptuous about what we say we're going to do later on. And later on may be days that God will not allot to us and we need to give Him our very best while we can. So he was full of heaviness and he was nigh unto death. So what is the life that's poured out, going back to the opening verse, verse 17, where he said, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, what is it to be poured out? What is it to be offered like a drink offering? Well, it's to have the example of a Christian like Timothy did in commitment, in concern, in character, in cause. It is to have a testimony of a Christian like Epaphroditus had, and he'd be a brother, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, a messenger, and a minister. And it's to be devoted to Christ, even when your heart is heavy, even when it's difficult to do, and even when you feel like you're nigh unto death. Give your very best to Him. That's what a sacrificial life is. Now, I can make no assessment for you and you cannot for me. I don't know whether I've lived a sacrificial life or not. But I know it is an hour that I need to examine how I've served Him. Have I done what the old hymn writer said, give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Are we giving the very best that's left of our lives in these particular days, whether we're in our 20s or whether we're in our 80s or whether we're anything in between? just given to God, being a godly example by living a sacrificial life. I tell you what the ultimate goal ought to be, that as we live our lives, nobody has to wonder what's most important in that guy or that gal's life. It ought to be without question, hey, they love Jesus. Now, there's a lot of good things you can give yourself to, but there's nothing as important as doing the work of God. For you see, as you do the work of God, Jesus is keeping those books, and one day is going to call you into His presence. And on that day, we'll be glad that we've done what we've done for Christ. And I don't want it to be that we are saddened that we just sort of dilly-dallied with it and didn't give Him our very best. Is there anything you are not doing for Christ right now you could do? Is there anything that you should have already done for Christ and you just wonder, have I waited too late? Is there anything you need to do for the cause of Christ even now? Would you be willing to tell God, Lord, I'm willing to do that. Show me how to accomplish that, and I'll do that come morning. I'll do that just, Lord, if you'll let me wake up tomorrow, I'll start that right now. I want to, Lord, serve you. And I want to honor you with my substance, with my time and my talent and my treasure and my testimony. I want to honor you. If you want to do that, then He'll take that. It starts by giving your life away to Him. It starts by becoming a Christian, a follower of Christ. I'm going to show you how to do that. And as I pray with these tonight who may want to receive Christ, may I say to my fellow believers, just give God right now what you know God would be requesting of you, and you'll be the happier for it. You'll be the blessed for it. Let's pray together. Our Father, on this Sunday evening, we come back to you to say that we are grateful that your Son has come to be the Savior of mankind. But Lord, we want to be certain that He is our Savior, so I come even now to ask you to please forgive me of my sin. Please wash me clean by your Spirit. Come to live inside of me as I now have repented of my sin. Become the Savior, Master, and Supreme Lord of my life. Lord, continue to live and function your life in me. By the work of your Spirit, equip me for that which you have me to do. Let me find fulfillment in my devotion to you and my service to you, and let my life be a life that is a godly example as I give the remainder of my days to you. And Father, for those of us who are your children, may we in this moment be absolutely devoted to giving to you anything that we have withheld. And may the days where our life count, may the greatest of those days start right now. Bless all of these who have been a part of viewing this message tonight. Thank you for our live stream family and for this church family. Continue to bless them, meet their every need. And we thank you for the grace and goodness that you pour out on us day by day by day. You truly load us with benefits. Thank you most of all for your presence in our life and for the forgiveness of our sin. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.